Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this. I've been doing this for four decades. That's right. Knocking out bums for 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, hey, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. Hey, check that out. And I was nationally ranked. So I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan knows a little bit more. You're buying the pay-per-views, or are you buying the pay-per-views? I ask that question every week because everybody I run into, when I ask them if they're buying the pay-per-views, they take the fifth. They don't tell me they're stealing it. They just take the fifth. They won't admit, I don't know, like they're under oath. Straight up, that's just the way it is as far as the world of pay-per-views is concerned. So every week or often I say to myself, who's buying the pay-per-views? If 1.3 million Americans or 1.5 million Americans bought that last Oleg Usyk-Tyson Fury fight, I have yet to meet one except Larry Merchant, the retired HBO godfather, who might spend some time with us a little bit later. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, of course. A two-hour edition here on Sunday, the impeccable one. Bailey Peck is in the house, my esteemed producer for Sunday. And of course, today we'll talk about boxing in general with an hour number one with the Sir Thomas Dillamuth, of course, the Sir Duke of Boxing. And then an hour number two, I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to check out the mob days. First, I'm going to go into Dempsey. Jack Dempsey pretty deep. We'll talk about the Phantom Punch. And, of course, Dempsey was a heavyweight champion back in the 20s and the 30s. And, of course, he saw the Phantom Punch, or he talked about the Phantom Punch, which Muhammad Ali knocked out Sonny Liston, of course, in Lewiston, Maine in 1965, I believe it was. Anyway, bottom line is they're going to go back in time with Marciano Dempsey, and we'll bring in Ed Sullivan. We'll have some fun in hour number two. We're going to go back, but I'm going to highlight in hour number two how the mob controlled boxing. Frankie Carbo and Blinky Palermo. When I ran into Blinky Palermo in Atlantic City, I think about 1988 or 1989, I was told, stay away from my uncle when I tried to approach him. So bottom line is he was protected back then. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one, take it away.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
Are we running? You gonna run tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Right.
Okay.
You have not been tested running until you've ran with Ray Charles Leonard. I kid you not. Of course, today is the anniversary. April 6, 1987, Ray Leonard winning a split decision in 15 and 12 rounds. Of course, Marvin Hagler decided he would opt for the 12-round fight. He gave Ray Leonard the choice of gloves. He gave him the choice of the ring, the whole nine yards. He sold his ass. I'm talking about Marvin Hagler. Made all kinds of money. And Ray Leonard walked away with a split decision. Of course, judges went this way. Actually, let's talk about the judge that voted for Hagler first, Lou Filippo, my buddy. Man, Lou and I, we talked about this fight on all kinds of different continents. We're in China. We're in Macau. We're in Europe. I mean, he was just a wonderful man. He's passed away, but he was a former fighter and a judge. He had it 115, 113, or 7-5 in rounds for Marvin Hagler. Now, this crazy Chicano, I'll just put it to you like that, this Mexican guy by the name of Juan Jose Guerra, I don't know what fight he was watching, but he had a 118, 110 for Leonard. That was 10-2 in rounds. He should have been, they should have, like, deported him that night or something like that. I mean, JoJo, come on, man. That was crazy. Anyway, Dave Moretti, he sort of saved the day for Ray Leonard with a 115-113 score. 7-5 rounds, all, with the exception of JoJo Guerra and his erratic score, the other guys were real close because it was a close fight. It was 115-113. I scored at 115-113, 7-5 rounds. I gave Ray Leonard four of the first five rounds, and all he had to do was, quote, steal three rounds down the stretch. That's how I put it with Marvin Hagler because, you know, even though I got in everybody's face, I got in everybody's face except Marvin Hagler and Mike Tyson. I knew better. I mean, come on, man. Mike Tyson will, like, fire you up. I see Mike Tyson. You see Mike Tyson do crazy stuff with the press, right? You think I was going to test him back in his prime? You got to be kidding me. But the bottom line is him and the respect I had for Marvin Hagler overall prevented me from asking him really the questions I wanted to ask him. But we go from that, of course, to the Bronx and bringing my man. I'm talking about Sir Thomas Dillamuth, a.k.a. Tommy D with his private jets. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Pedro? I just got off my private jet. I'm feeling a little bit sick, but I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I don't know, man. You know, why don't you send me and the Peckable, and we want to go to Hawaii. Can you send a jet out here for us?
I got to think about it. You know, there's a lot of logistics that go into that. So.
Oh, man. See that? I mean, hey, you know what? He's probably going to, if you know, your phone line's going to be terrible from here on in. You realize that, right? He's handling the audio. He's handling the audio here. Hey, let's talk about Tim Zhu. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we saw Edgar Berlanga in a setup fight. That was another setup fight. That was a setup fight last night for Tim Zhu. You want to agree or disagree?
It was a setup, not as much as the Berlanga setup fight, but, you know, this one, it was a setup fight for him to look good after, you know, losing two fights in a row and obviously the raw deal against Bandura. you know, I think Spencer was a okay opponent.
Wait, you explain the raw deal against Fedora. I mean, come on, people are going, what's he talking about?
Well, his team didn't you know, stop the fight. They did him an injustice against the Fedora fight.
Well, then did they do him a favor by getting him his next fight?
They did him a huge injustice by getting him the next fight against a guy that, you know, probably, you know, Tim Zhu never seen, and probably they didn't even know about it. He got, you know, annihilated in that fight.
How can you be that inept in the world of professional boxing? I mean, where do these guys live? On Nickelodeon?
Well, they live on the other side of the world, called Australia. I guess it's down under. It's called Down Under for a reason. But, you know, I mean, his father was a professional fighter for some years, and he was a real good fighter. You would think they would learn from his career, but...
Somebody told me he had some of the same people that his father had in the corner, but, you know, common sense should have prevailed. I think that twice. He shouldn't have fought the monster, and he should have bowed out after the second round of the Fedora fight. There was absolutely no reason in the world to continue. None.
None at all. Absolutely none. And now... the rumor is, and the word is, you know, I just seen an interview with Keith Thurman, is that that's the next fight. It's going to be Keith Thurman and Zhu. This is what Australia wants. This is what Tim Zhu's promoter wants, and they're going to have Tim Zhu versus Keith Thurman next. Don't know when, but it's going to happen in Australia, and that's what they're looking to do.
Okay, didn't the young man just go down under and win a fight against some stiff?
Yeah, against, you know, some that's a setup. That's what we could call a setup. And, you know, he's been out of the ring for 3 years, so I guess he's deserved some sort of, you know, tune-up, if you want to call that. But basically, this is what Australia wants. That's why they brought him to Australia to fight that guy and hopes that Zhu would, you know, do his job. And now they both won, and let's see what happens.
You know, he's only lost one fight professionally.
One fight, and that was to Manny Pacquiao in a controversial fight. It was a close fight. It could have went either way. But yeah, only one professional fight, and that was to Manny Pacquiao.
But you would think that he's lost more than that one fight. I mean, you know what it was? Is he was you know where he's been for the last 3 years? I can tell you. He's been in the forest smoking weed.
You know what's funny about that, Pedro? What? Is that he admitted to being in the forest. He's admitted to loving nature and in love with the nature, but he excluded the weed part.
Wait. That's the only reason why I read that was the only reason why he went into the forest.
Listen, I'm just saying. So you're pretty accurate on that. He didn't. I don't think he mentioned the weed part. I'd have to watch it again. But he did admit to everything you just said.
Okay, so Keith Thurman and Tim Zhu down under. It draws good money. Does Keith Thurman have a shot here, or is it an even fight? Where do you see that one going?
You know what? I think he has a shot. And, you know, I think that fight, you know, got rid of whatever rust he had. I thought he looked in great shape, you know, and, you know, maybe 3 years off is what he's needed to heal his body. He said he had a couple of surgeries, you know. Keith Thurman was never a bum. He was never, you know, limited. I thought Keith Thurman was a real solid puncher. I thought he was one of the best welterweights. It's just unfortunate we didn't get to see him fight against, you know, the Spencers and the Crawfords of the world. But, you know, he's got a big win over Sean Porter. And another big win against your favorite guy, Danny Garcia. So,
speaking of Danny Garcia, he was spotted in the Dominican Republic this week.
That's good for him, man.
A friend of mine took a picture with him, and I put it up online. He goes, "No, no, my old lady don't know I'm here." I said, "Huh?" I said, "Huh? You're out of the country. Your old lady don't know where you're here. Okay."
Yeah,
I just
That's one of the two places that I know of that you don't want to let your girl know you went to. It's Colombia and Dominican Republic. So yeah, so I understand.
You know, I don't know why you knock Colombia. I've only been there 12 times. Now, why would I go to Colombia 12 times? Why? I mean, I'd come back from Africa, I go to Colombia. I come back from Europe, I go to Colombia. I come back from China sometimes, I go to Colombia. Sometimes I'll get promoted to throw in a trip to Colombia for me. I pay for my own hotel, but just like loop me through Colombia, or on the way home from like Saudi Arabia, loop me through Colombia, something like that. I just went down there. It's the most chilling place, and it was the most beautiful place in the world. But there's no place to chill like Colombia. Nowhere.
What? Let me ask you a question. But were you married or at the time?
No, I wasn't married at the time. I had a girlfriend at the time. The girl. Would you have to be single to go to Colombia?
I'm just saying. I think.
Are
I think
you implying you that you have to be single to go to Columbia?
I think you have to be single if you go to Columbia or.
No. I wasn't going down there for no. I wasn't going down there for no Schmecks tours or anything like that, man. I mean, I was just talking about. Anyway, let's talk about. Listen, if your name was Guido, you know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're a Guido dude. Hey, man, that's Guido, man. He can fight, right? Not this Guido. What happened last night? Originally, you were picking Guido, the gladiator. Oh, my God, Vianello, now 13-3-1, 11 KOs and one draw after losing a 10-round unanimous nod to Richard Torres, now 13-0, 11 KOs. Scores were 97-92. That means one round was even, 98-91 and 98-91. Bottom line is Torres was the winner. Torres doesn't do anything for me. Top rank knows what they're doing when they're matching this guy. I mean, listen, they tried to get the impeccable one, and he was busy.
Yeah, and you said it right there at the end. Top rank knows what they're doing, and that's the reason why I changed my pick. I think I was here last week, and I said that Guido was going to beat him. But I told you before the fight, way before the fight last night on the phone, that I changed my pick to Torres because it just doesn't make sense. I think this is, you know, they set it up for a reason. And even around two or three, I think it was, the referee already took a point from Guido. The guy had no shot in that fight. You know, Richard Torres, I think he's just very limited. I think, you know, he comes straight at you, you know, the roughhouse tactics, looking to catch you with a left hook, you know, but I think he fights a little bit too dirty. And I think if he fights somebody with good foot movement and a good jab, I think he gets destroyed.
Yeah, but they better continue to watch to match him carefully. I mean, because he just, I was watching last night. I'm saying to myself, because I watch the fights with no sound on. Larry Merchant and I do that. We both of us watch a fight with no sound. Do you do that, Tommy?
Yeah, if I really feel like the announcer, like let's say Sergio Mora, who I do not like at all, I won't listen to it because they really bias and they'll, you know, they'll sway you to pick or to lean towards a guy that's winning that's not, you know, so. Yeah, I will watch the fight with the sound on.
Because, yeah, I mean, because sometimes these guys are just stone cold ridiculous. And so, you know what? Some of the female commentators are good, but some of them are just, like, atrocious. They don't know what they're talking about, this and that, but they put them on the screen because they're fine, I guess, and that gets over to an extent. But the bottom line is you got to know what you're talking about. You know, not everybody right. does. A lot of people on TV just don't know. Let's roll to an early break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast. So check the times, 22 and a half minutes past the hour. Hour number one of two. Tommy D sticks around. Of course, Tommy, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the Sunday Shot caller, will be in the house probably up until about 55 minutes past the hour. But this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, The Mob, Dempsey, and Marciano. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free.
So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Frankie Carbo was a one-time hitman for the mafia, and in the 1950s, he was the underground ruler of boxing. When he was 11 years old, he stole an apple and was sent to a youth reformatory. Instead of rehabilitation, he found his calling as a lifetime criminal. He claimed his first kill at 18. When a man said Carbo didn't have the guts to use a pistol he was carrying. He then became a professional killer for Murder Incorporated, an organization that did contract killings for the mafia. Carbo was said to have been responsible for countless murders. His start in boxing came in 1936 when mobster Gabe Genovese made him manager for boxing champion Babe Risco. A decade later, it was believed that there wasn't a boxer or boxing manager that Carbo didn't control.
Frankie Carbo, born Frankie Carboni, January 14, 1941, died July 18, 1984. Of course, him and the aforementioned Blinky Palermo, they controlled boxing. When somebody called you the night before a fight, when they called your manager, it was Mr. Brown. When Mr. Brown called you, that was a.k.a. Frankie Carbo. It was time to take a dive. Straight up, we'll talk about that in depth in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now, back to the subject hand. Of course, the weekend in boxing. And Abdullah Mason. Wow, what can I say? The guy just keeps rolling. Tommy D?
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, Abdullah Mason, he looked good last night against a guy that, you know, he didn't want to lay down, took some, you know, strategic knees, you know, and gave Abdullah, I guess, some rounds. You know, Top Rank is managing him up very well. He's looking to be a big contender in a 135-pound division. So,
what does that mean when 135-pound division? They needed to have an interim champion when Shakur Stevens is their champion. Just fought a few weeks ago and looked pretty good. Against limited opposition, but then again, they had another guy last week fighting in a vacant interim title for 135 pounds with the WBC. I mean, I would have a problem. If I was a champion, I would have a problem with it. It was like if I won the Golden Gloves out here and they said, you know what, we're going to have a Golden Gloves a week later. So they say, what? Say, well, you can't.
Yeah.
Are we losing you, Tommy D?
We did. It's like on and off, but I hear you.
Let's
now.
Call you right back. We're going to call you right back on Twitch. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. In the WBC and IBF super lightweight eliminator, that's 140 pounds, of course, undefeated WBC number 5 guy, IBF number 7, WBO number 8. Talk about Landolfo Delgado, 23-0, 16 KOs. Hard-fought 10-round majority decision winner over the equally ranked number IBF number 5, WBO 14, Elvis, the Dominican kid from obviously the Dominican Republic, but Rodriguez now 17-2-1, 13 KOs. Delgado pressed the action to pull it out, 95-95, 96-94, and 96-94. That's about as close as you get. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, just now, unbeaten WBC number 7, WBO number 8,
And talk about the lightweight contender, number 135-pounder, Abdullah Mason, as we talked about, 18-0, 16 KOs, who turned 21 on fight night. Sorry, turned 21 yesterday. Stopped southpaw and late substitute Carlos Chinito Ornelas, who did not come to lay down. He came down to fight, 28-5, now 15 KOs after 6 one-sided rounds. Mason dropped Ornelas in round 2, round 4, and round 6. The bout was halted after the 6th round. Straight up, we'll go back to the Bronx and Tommy D. Tommy D., are you there? I mean, I accused Sokka being on heroin yesterday because the Twitch was bad. He was like responding slow. I said, "Man, are you on heroin?" He said, "No, Valiums."
No, I don't want to get accused of that. It was just a little back and forth. Like, I couldn't. You was in there, and then you was out of there. But I hear you now. Everything is good.
Okay, back to Mason. Does Mason look like he's the future of boxing? I mean, is he the guy that stands out for you at 135?
He does. I think for the future, I think he's one of those guys. I would like to add that I also like Fernando Vargas's kid, Emiliano. I think that's a real good future fight for those two. They're both young. They both, I believe, just turned 21. I think Abdullah Mason just turned 21 last night. I think that would be a phenomenal fight later on, maybe, you know, next year or maybe a year or two. I think they both look good. They definitely passed the eye test. I like that Abdullah, a few fights ago, he got dropped a couple of times. But came back up, made some adjustments, and got the guy out of there. So definitely, you know, a force to reckon with, those two guys. You know, Top Rank already has a champion who I like very much at 135, Keyshawn Davis. Hopefully he gets, you know,
time out. How many champions are there at 135 round? Do I need an adding machine?
You probably do because of the different sanctioning belts.
And the fact that WBC now has two.
Because of the interim title, which is...
Which I thought the Association of Boxing Commissions eliminated a few years ago. Remember, they threatened the WBA and said, "We're going to take you out of Box Rec," and that kind of good stuff. And then all of a sudden, the Association of Boxing Commissions disappeared. Do they exist anymore, or are they just an impotent organization?
I think it's a little bit impotent. I think they just love those sanctioning fees that they, you know, they like to collect when awarding these titles to these fighters. You know, these fighters are not making that much anyway when they're at that, you know, that level, or when they win those titles, they're not getting big purses. So they now you're taking a percentage out of that purse towards, you know, that sanction, towards the sanctioning fee. I think it's a little criminal, but who am I to say if I truly don't understand?
Okay,
you know,
when Zabeda is the new interim champion at 135, Zabeda is a girl, whatever. Bottom line is William Zabeda. Tevin Farmer, although he won some rounds, you can't win a fight against a WBC champion with your back to the ropes. You can't do it. Not against a Mexican. Come on, man. That's like crazy.
Especially in the first early fights, yeah. In the first early rounds, he did, you know, and then he was getting beat up bad. I thought at one point the ref was going to stop that fight. But the second half of that fight was a totally different story.
But I get that. But when the house guy wins the early rounds, they stack the cards against the other guy coming back. I mean, we're talking about the boxing establishment here. You don't rock the establishment.
You're right.
Too often.
And listen, in some of those fights where the house guy and then you're fighting in the whole town or the whole country, the scorecards are already 4-0 up on that guy before the fight's even started. So,
you know,
I mean,
Kingsley Ibe is the unbeaten, twice beaten. He lost to the crazy guy, the crazy heavyweight with the dog issue. Who's that crazy heavyweight from the United States that we thought was going to be really good? And he's panned out to not be very good. What's his name?
Jared Anderson,
of course. Kingsley lost to Jared Anderson early in his career, but Kingsley can punch, there's no doubt about that. But Kingsley Ibe is one of these guys that wants to call his own shots. He wants to fight all the big fights right now, and he's like 17-2 with something like 12 knockouts. I told him, get 4 or 5 more fights, build up the record. Said, no, yeah. I want the fights now, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's rushing things, and when you rush things in the world of boxing is not luck. Boxing is more planning than it is luck. You feel me?
Yes. I totally agree. I think he should take, you know, if not 5-3, get 3 fights, look impressive, those 3 fights, and then start making a bigger name for yourself and say, hey, look at this guy. It'll build up the fight even more when he's contending for, you know, one of these titles or even one of those interim titles.
Either way, it
sells more.
I don't think they'd put him in with Richard Torres. I don't think Richard Torres's people would take him. I don't think they would. I think he punches a little bit too hard. But the bottom line is, you know, if you're a monster, you develop the monster persona. You don't do it with 17, 18 fights. You know what I'm saying? You got to build up that record. Got to make it look good. I mean, it just, you have to. And these guys don't get it. Well, I'm ready to go right now. I'm 28 years old. I'm ready to go. No, man. Timing is everything. And you can't explain that to young fighters. You can't explain it to old fighters. Fighters know their own thing. I mean, listen, fighters are their own worst enemies.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
All right, let's talk pound for pound. The Noah Noy, 29 and zip, 26 KOs. He's taking on a pretty good fighter in Ramon Cardenas, who's 26-1. What kind of chances Mr. Cardenas have? Slim or none? Or what's up with that?
I think one of those two, or maybe both. Yeah, slim to none, he probably has a chance. They're already building up, and I read somewhere that the Nakatani fight is going to happen, I think, sometime next year. So this guy probably has slim to none chance.
The Nakatani fight. You know, could I get you on a plane if I got you on Valiums or something like that? We smoked a couple of joints. So what's the story? Do we have to like put you on heroin to get you on a plane, Tommy? Because that would be a great thing. But then again, I don't want you freaking out on the way to Japan. Hold on a second. I had a panic attack one time on an airplane. It wasn't pretty. The airplane turned on its side.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know. I don't think I'd get on a plane after that.
No, but you have to. You have to. It's like this. It's like, hey, come on. I would compare it to something else, but I'd get in trouble if I did that right now, so I'm not going to do it. But the bottom line is you got to get back on that horse. Got to get back on that plane. I mean, let me tell you. One time we were leaving the Sanchez-Gomez fight in 1982 out of Vegas, and the air was so bad that the plane kept dropping. It was hitting air pockets, and it kept dropping, and it would drop, and I would count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. In other words, I'm counting the drops, right, Tommy D? Right?
Yeah.
So when I realized these are the significant drops, I start screaming, every time they do it, right? So anyway, the stewardess comes back. She says to me, sir, you're upsetting the rest of the passengers. I go, they should be upset. I go, this thing's going to drop out of the sky like a rock. Bottom line is, we didn't fly for about 6 months. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the shot caller, on the other side of the break. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I'm going to say hello to all the people on Twitch.tv.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So you can break a second down to 100 pieces. So, you know, yes, quick. So four 100, they got a machine that goes like real quick. And it counts real quick. You know, real quick.
Muhammad Ali talking about the Phantom Punch. Rocky Marciano, Jack Dempsey will join me in hour number two. No, that actually not them. Them on tape. They'll join me in hour number two talking about the Phantom Punch. And, of course, Cassius Clay and his impact on the sport of boxing back in the 1960s. When I mentioned one time when I was, take that back, it was going to the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. And I think we transferred planes in Denver. And they put us on this small plane. And we're going to the Olympic training camp. And it's in the snow. And the plane's rocking and rolling this. And then I'm saying to myself, it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. And I was like, Tommy D, I'm screaming to myself, this isn't worth it, right? Screw the Olympics. I don't want to go, man. I didn't want to fight anymore. I wanted to get off that plane. I had a panic attack like you wouldn't believe, okay? So we hit the ground in Colorado Springs, and that was that. But the bottom line is I was ready to puss out after that flight. I mean, I'm sort of glad I was on the flight with a bunch of boxers, because had I not been, I'd probably been crying and screaming and kicking and all that kind of good stuff. Do they have a straitjacket on the airplane?
I have no idea.
Well, I thought maybe you might know, because you know you're a straitjacket type of guy. If you got on a plane, you need a straitjacket.
No, I haven't been on a plane in a while, so I do not know. And okay. I don't go crazy on the plane.
And of course, March 14th, 1980. Of course, the plane crash that took destroyed the U.S. amateur boxing team with some good guys on that team, including the coach. But the bottom line is March 14th, 1980. I think they were headed to Poland, and they crashed at war about a half a mile from Warsaw's Okasi Airport. Bottom line is, wow, it's been that long, 39 years. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D. What did this weekend do for us? Was this a decent weekend to watch fights? I mean, or was last week good? I mean, when is there going to be a super weekend on the horizon that doesn't cost us an arm and a leg to watch boxing?
I mean, I thought it was a decent weekend. I mean, nothing you had to pay for, so you could have, you know, there was some fights on. I think it was like four different networks.
Okay, Tommy, how many of your friends buy the pay-per-view, or do they all take the fifth?
I think for the most part, 99% plead the fifth.
I can't get it. I told you when I pulled. I got on the phone, and I pulled about 14 or 15 people after the Oleg Usyk Tyson Fury fight, and the only one that bought it was Larry Merchant, because he doesn't know how to not watch it without buying it, I think.
So have you showed them how not to buy it?
I don't want to go into that deep one. He's 94 years old. I really don't want to go into that deep. But besides, last thing I want to see is Larry Merchant in handcuffs. Yeah,
I think he'll be safe. I think.
Well,
he'll
watch
be okay.
This. The headlines: former cable king arrested for yeah. Come on, man, cable theft. Yeah. I can just see his hands behind him being led down. Do the perp walk? Larry Merchant doing the perp walk at 94 years old. I don't want to see that. Speaking of Larry Merchant, he had lunch today with Logan Hobson. Of course, Logan Hobson, one of the co-founders of CompuBox. And he's also a stand-up comedian of note down there in the L.A. area. So they're out having lunch today, so more power to them. So we're not going to be able to hook up with Larry Merchant, I don't think. Right? Hour number two, of course, we're going to go back in time, talk about when Frankie Carbone, and Blinky Palermo. Let me tell you, I've got some stuff to talk about that is just mind-blowing about these guys. I mean, they really control the sport of boxing. When imagine this. You're a boxing manager, Tommy D., you're sitting there in the Bronx, and you get a call the night before you guys are going to fight at the Garden, and you tell Mr. Brown's on the phone. He goes, "This is Mr. Brown." He goes, "You're not going to win tomorrow night." Click. And if you went against him, that was your ass.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? So you didn't know
what. That must be a very stressful time.
Yeah, because if you go against them, they got a chance. They're going to screw you, your fighter, or something like that. And anyway, the mob, you didn't cross the mob. You just didn't cross. I mean, when you did, the guys that crossed the mob ended up being dead.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm very intrigued on that hour number two. That's going to be a good one.
Okay. Hour number two, Joe the Juggernaut Joyce. Is he done?
I think he is. I mean, what else does he have? I mean, he looked okay. He looked like he was in decent shape, but he just, you know, he didn't, you know, it was a close fight. One of the judges had it really, you know, lopsided, but he did not win that fight. It's just, you know, that's back-to-back loss, like, pretty much back-to-back losses.
But they call Flip the El Animal. I don't know about that. Hrgović, 18-1, 14 KOs.
Flip was tied after the second round.
What? Pardon me?
So Joyce fought a guy that was tied after the second round. The guy was just pretty much just, you know, throwing arm punches and landing and couldn't miss a right hand, you know, and he was tied, and Joyce couldn't get him out of there and couldn't do anything with him. You know, I think Joyce, you know, should look for another career at this point.
Okay, I'm going to read this to you from fightnews.com because I want you to comment on this, okay? In a clash for the British heavyweight title, David Adele, 14-1, 13 KOs. So I murdered the name. I apologize. Scored a sudden six round TKO against Jimmy. Anybody named Jimmy, I got a problem with. TKV. That's his last name. 8-2, 5 KOs. Adelaide dropped TKV. I'm having problems with that. Twice in round six to end it. TKV was out boxing Adelaide until the referee touched TKV's glove, distancing TKV. This way, were you trying to tell me, it sounds like the referee broke these guys apart and the guy hit them on a break?
Yes, that's exactly what happened, Pedro. It was a travesty. So it was not much of a good fight to watch. It was, you know, nothing there. But Jimmy was pretty much outboxing Adelaide. And then the ref called break. He clearly hear him say break, and they both stop. And the ref pulls down Jimmy's left arm down, and then Adelaide laid him with a big left hook, and that was it after that. You know, he tried to recover, and he got up, you know, at the standing eight count, but he had no legs, and, you know, Adelaide finished him, and the ref called the fight off.
Wow, the British Board of Boxing Control used to be, like, the number one commission in the entire world. That's the best way to put it, okay, at one point in time. And I guess they're sort of fading as well, going away with the money, huh?
It sounds like it. I mean, you know, both these guys, I don't know where they're going to go from there. Let me tell you something. Before this fight was a big WWE scripted event press conference where they were, you know, the guy was like, trust me, Jimmy, I'm going to hurt you. And then Jimmy goes and flips the table up in the air. And it was like this big show, you know, and you know, it looked like, oh, wow, these guys are going to get into it. And then the fight was just like, you know, so all the way, you know, from the press conference to the fight, you know, just look kind of staged.
Yeah,
altogether.
But I mean, how macho can a guy named Jimmy TKV? I mean, it sort of sounds like a feminine name. I'm not gonna. I'm sorry, man. It's just Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's.
That wasn't the comeback I was expecting. But the bottom line, what's his real name? Smith.
I don't know. A last name TKV just sounds. It sounds robotic. I don't know.
Okay.
That's how they looked in the ring.
Filip Hrgović, is he going to go anywhere? I mean, he's sort of like been on the fringes for a long time. Are they just positioning him to be an opponent for a big guy and make some money?
I think so, because I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, his only quality win was against Zhang in a fight that I thought Zhang won. And look where Zhang is at now. So I don't see him. He got gassed out against Dubois as well. He was gassed against Joyce and, you know, somehow won last night. I think he's there to be set up as an opponent for somebody. I don't know what animal, you know, he was, but, or he is, but yeah, I don't see him going anywhere in the heavyweight division.
Okay. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Is there any reason why Danny Garcia wants to box again? I mean, he's still got his senses, and, you know, unlike Deontay Wilder, he's got a lot. I mean, Deontay's got a lot of money because Deontay made those million-dollar mm-hmm. paydays as a heavyweight. I mean, I guess the Tyson Fury fight must have made him about 10 or 15 million bucks easy. So he's got enough money to wipe his butt with $1,000 bills for the rest of his life, okay? So there's no need for him to come back. He is damaged. I mean, I look at him and I can see neurological differences from like 10 years ago. Can you?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you know
honestly,
what I'm saying
like
there, Tommy D?
Yeah. I like Deontay Wilder. I like Danny Garcia. Both guys have made tremendous amount of money in their careers, and they really don't need to fight anymore. You know, and Deontay's taking some big punishment in the last few fights. You know, so I don't know how I feel about it. You know, as a human being, I honestly wish that they wouldn't fight again.
Okay. Oleg Usyk has no future fights coming up, but it looks like Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury are going to do something in London before the end of the year.
Yeah, we all knew that was going to happen. We all knew Tyson Fury wasn't going to retire. You know, once somebody throws money at you, you know, then you're all up and for it again.
That kind of money especially.
Yeah, so, yeah, we knew that. Remember, they announced that this fight was supposed to happen years ago.
Yeah, no, but you know what? The bottom line is both these guys could be in a wheelchair and they still make money with it.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious about that. Any word from the Skull training camp? I mean, any word from William Skull? Is he talking about this fight? He said he was disrespected. Nobody thinks he's going to win this and that. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Listen, if Skull was to go there and outbox Canelo for 12 rounds, he's not winning this fight. The only way Skull can win this fight if he somehow, you know, knocks Canelo out. There's
twice.
No way he gets a victory.
Probably twice.
Yeah. So I do not see Skull winning this fight. Maybe he can outclass him, he can outbox him, kind of the way, what's the guy's name, the Cuban, Lara. Lara outboxed Canelo. I thought Lara got robbed of that fight. So, you know, even if he was to go in and do what Lara did twice over, he's not winning this fight.
You know, Lara didn't step forward once, though. You got to step forward to win fights. Lara didn't step forward enough, I thought, in that fight. In fact, the old Lara with no legs is better than the younger Lara.
Yeah, because that's what people want to see. They want to see knockouts. But Lara was a good fighter. Lara was robbed against Paul Williams. I don't know if you remember that fight. Lara beat Paul Williams. I thought he dominated that fight, and he didn't get the victory then.
Who knocked out Paul Williams and his leg folded?
Sergio Martinez. Sergio Martinez, That was sick.
And Carl Williams, of course, he's not. He got into a motorcycle accident or a car accident. Of course, he's paralyzed from the waist down. I saw a picture of him a couple of months ago. He was a real good fighter at one point in time.
Yeah, he was. Until Paul Williams was supposed to fight Canelo. Before that accident, they already had signed to fight. And
okay, so what's up? What's up with the monster, David Benavidez? Any word on what he's going to do next?
I have no idea what he's going to do. It seems like it'd be nice if he get the Bivol fight, but it just seems like nobody wants to fight this guy. You know,
it doesn't seem. Why do you keep saying it seems?
Because I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt.
I know,
but
I mean, come on, man. He was like number one for 3.5 years, and nobody called. I mean, here's what's up. He was number one at 168 pounds at WBC for 3.5 years. Not one person called him out. Not even the impeccable one. Nobody called this dude out.
Well, to be fair, one guy did call him out, and he did fight him, and he lost. The guy he just fought did call out Benavidez.
David Morrell.
Yeah, he did call him out. So to be fair, there was one guy. But yeah, nobody's really called out Benavidez. Caleb Plant wanted to fight too, and you know, you saw what happened in that fight as well.
Yeah, but you know, Caleb Plant's one of the most colorful figures in boxing right now. I like the way he goes. Is he and Charlo ever going to hook it up?
Well, supposedly they're supposed to, if they both win their upcoming fights that was just announced, they're supposed to meet, you know, at the end of the year. So we'll see what happens with that one. But Charlo, you never know with Charlo. You know, he hasn't fought in like 2 years. Two or 3 years, it came back. He had to fight against Benavidez, Jose Benavidez. Mm-hmm. And then now, took another year off, and now he's fighting. He's got a fight set up for him, I think, in a couple months, in June, I think it is.
Okay.
So if they would both to win their fights, you know, supposedly they'll fight, and they'll be and Charlo.
Sir Thomas Dillamuth, you have a great day. I hope you feel better. And here's what's up. Let me give you a little tip on social habits, right? Don't shake hands.
Don't shake hands.
That's how you get colds. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
Right.
That's how you get colds and viruses, shaking people's hands. Just give them the fist bump. And they say, they look at you funny.
Right.
They say, look, man. I remember some guy says to me, no, man, I want to shake your hand. I said, not in this lifetime.
Not in this lifetime.
No, I mean, come on. Listen, I don't want to go into the right hand, the left hand type of thing, but the bottom line is don't shake hands. Anyway, have a great week. Hug the wife and your son, of course. How's Tamara doing?
Everybody's doing well. Samara's doing well. We're all hanging in there. They got to put up with me, Pedro. So they get a medal for that.
All right, great. You have a great week, sir. Hug the wife. We'll talk real soon. Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the Sunday Shot Caller, exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Frankie Carbo was a one-time hitman for the mafia, and in the 1950s, he was the underground ruler of boxing. When he was 11 years old, he stole an apple and was sent to a youth reformatory. Instead of rehabilitation, he found his calling as a lifetime criminal. He claimed his first kill at 18 when a man said Carbo didn't have the guts to use a pistol he was carrying. He then became a professional killer for Murder Incorporated, an organization that did contract killings for the mafia. Carbo was said to have been responsible for countless murders. His start in boxing came in 1936 when mobster Gabe Genovese made him manager for boxing champion Babe Risco. A decade later, it was believed that there wasn't a boxer or boxing manager that Carbo didn't control.
Okay, we'll go deep into Frankie Carbo and Blinky Palermo. Actually, Frank Blinky Palermo, of course, born in 1905, died in 1996. I had an encounter with him in Atlantic City, which they wouldn't let me near him. It was like he was like Howard Hughes or something like that. I'm serious, like don't go near that guy. Bottom line is, we'll talk about the mob, Dempsey, the Dempsey era. And, of course, we'll talk about the Phantom Punch as well in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the fabulous news here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Got a few viewers going right now on that. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the Bobby Chez, the fundraiser for Bobby Chez was a great success. I want to thank Frank 1961. We'll talk about that in depth in hour number two as well. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest-running fight show in history. Ring Talk Live Worldwide has 40 years on the air. Guess this. We were the first podcast back in 1992 that said, you're going on the Internet next week. I went, huh? Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. UConn and South Carolina are set to face off in the women's NCAA March Madness tournament. South Carolina overcame Texas 74-57. UConn beat UCLA 85-51. That championship game set for Sunday. A big slate on the NBA scoreboard includes the Pacers getting at home W against the Jazz 141-12. Kings on the road against the Hornets take it 125-102. Celtics dimming the light of the Suns winning 123-103. Pistons get a W against the Raptors 117-105. Bulls defeat the Trail Blazers winning 118-113. Cavaliers remaining dominant in a close win over the Spurs by 114-113. Rockets blast off to a win over the Thunder 125-111. Warriors get a W at home against the Nuggets 118-104. Lakers take the W against the Pelicans 124-108. And the Clippers defeat the Mavericks at home 114-91. NHL action. Alex Ovechkin ties Wayne Gretzky's record of 894 goals after a Capitals win over the Blackhawks 5-3. Other games on the NHL scoreboard include the Red Wings getting at home W against the Hurricanes 5-3 as well, and the Islanders take the W against the Wild 3-1. To stay up to date on all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram and visit our website sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your sports shorts presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network presented by Geico and Geico.com. We've arrived at Championship Week plus 2 for the NCAA Winter Major Team Sports. In a span of 9 days, the women's and men's basketball titles are up for grabs, and the men's hockey Frozen Four Championship will be decided next weekend. Let's focus on hoops for this weekend, specifically the men's Final Four. The complaints are already rolling in. Those who love Cinderella say the men's college basketball tournament is broken. But for only the second time in tournament history, all four number one seeds represent the Final Four. The other year it happened was 2008. What's going on? Well, those three ugly letters, NIL, are being shouted from one corner, while from the other corner comes complaints of a transfer portal far more crowded than a BART train heading in and out of San Francisco. Many think that 2 years ago was the norm, when number four UConn was the highest seed left standing in a Final Four that included number five Miami, number five San Diego State, and number nine Florida Atlantic. But in most cases, it's a one, two, or three seed playing the final weekend with an occasional Cinderella seed trying to crash the party. These remaining three games on paper are screaming nail-biters. Unlike almost any other Final Four, you have not only the four number one seeds, you have four of the most evenly matched number one seeds. According to the Bible of College Basketball Ratings and Statistics, KenPom.com, all four teams in the tournament are top 10 in the nation offensively and defensively, which is amazing when you consider that these teams are fighting for those accolades with 360 other squads. And with all that said, Las Vegas still has Duke as the prohibitive favorite, with Florida, Houston, who is Duke's semifinal opponent, and Auburn in that order as sizable underdogs to win it all and to replace the Connecticut Huskies, who are the defending national champions. Enjoy the games. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, coming at you, emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. Back in 1992, they told me, you're going on the internet. Somebody told me about the internet a few years earlier. In fact, I heard about it like as early as the 1970s. But the bottom line is, I couldn't envision being in 160 countries. Now it's closer to 200. But straight up, we are live worldwide on the fabulous internet, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Once again, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. Of course, I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove champion. So I have a unique perspective on the sport of boxing. Of course, I participated. I've wrote about it. I've been around the world. Was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard. In fact, you know, I hit on some girl the other night. And I said to her, you know, you need a... Off subject. The other night I was at a gig and I said to myself, you know, you need a bodyguard. You're so beautiful. You need a bodyguard. She goes, what makes you qualified to be a bodyguard? So I was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard for a while. She goes, well, that sort of shut her up. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, yeah, that's how I'm making moves nowadays. Pretty lame, Pedro. Straight up open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. I'm going to talk in depth this hour about the control of the mafia. I'm talking about Blinky Palermo and Frankie Carbo. Of course, Frankie Carbo, Mr. Brown, he was a guy that would call you the day before a fight or a couple days before the fight and tell you you're not going to win. And if you won, they took care of you in a nasty way. I'm talking about the mob. Of course, then Blinky Palermo, the man that really controlled boxing per se. I mean, he was a guy that he wasn't killing people. Frankie Carbo killed people, allegedly. You heard about the tape that we played in hour number one. In fact, we'll play that coming back in hour number two here after the first break. But the bottom line is Carbo was a monster. Blinky Palermo was a monster. We'll talk about that in depth for a little bit. And then we'll switch gears and we'll go back to the era of Jack Dempsey. That's right, Jack Dempsey, of course, one of the early heavyweight champions, early part of this 20th century. But the bottom line is, you know, Mike Tyson admired him. Muhammad Ali admired him. Everybody thought he was a great fighter this and that. But we'll talk about that in depth. How good was Jack Dempsey? We'll talk about that and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, we're live on Twitch.tv. We want to thank all the people on Twitch.tv watching. Mark, Dan, the historian, of course, Frank 1961. Matt, main event. Matt is not feeling well, so we wish him the very best. And, of course, Cardenas is going to get executed. I think you're right there. Cardenas has no chance against the Illinois. Slim and none, and Slim's out of town. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 8.5 minutes past the hour. Hour number two of the Sunday show. Live Ring Talk coming to you from the Sports Byline Wide Studios. Sunday, April 6th, 2025.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Hey there, I'm Jack.
And I'm Stag.
We're just two deer that want to make sure you know it's deer season at your authorized John Deere dealer. The deer season that saves bucks. You know, like us.
Yeah, you can get $3,000 off select John Deere machines. No early wake-up calls or tree stands required.
Just a trip to your authorized dealer before June 2nd.
If you ask us, it's the only deer season worth celebrating.
Visit johndeere.com/deerseason to find an authorized dealer and for complete finance details.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Time to take a look over my shoulder. Back in time, of course, 1964. Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston. Actually, their first fight was in 1964. Of course, Ali winning when Sonny Liston refused to come out for the seventh round. It was in Miami Beach. Chris Dundee, the brother of Angelo Dundee, was a promoter. Of course, Chris was a character in himself. Angelo was a wonderful man, but Chris was a character. Chris was fun to be around. Anyway, of course, then the rematch. Sonny Liston, of course, Lewiston, Maine. They couldn't find any place to put this fight on because Muhammad Ali was talking about not wanting to go to the draft. They're calling him a draft dodging N guy, N word. You know what I'm talking about. Bottom line is they were like dogging him. Everybody was dogging him. And he had an exemption. They said he was a Muslim and he didn't believe in, he was a somewhat of a Muslim minister. He didn't believe in killing people and this kind of stuff. And, you know, they weren't going to use him to go to battle or anything like that. They weren't going to put Ali in the Vietnam War, but they were going to use him, according to his words, to use him to lead other young men to slaughter, and he wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Anyway, bottom line is he's embroiled in all this controversy. In 1965, he has a fight with Sonny Liston. It lasts, get this, 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Jersey Joe Walker was the referee, the former world heavyweight champion. But get this, Liston goes down. The punch doesn't look like it's much, but Liston goes down. The punch connected, no doubt about that, on the chin. Liston goes down. Liston's an old man. Liston's much older than they say he is. He said he was born in 1928. Then I heard he was born in 1932. Then I heard he was born as early as 1922. Bottom line is, if he died in 1970, he was closer to 50. He wasn't anything else, okay? But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, when he went down and he got up, he wanted to fight some more. He was fighting back with Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, whatever you want to call him at that point in time, although I think he did convert to the Nation of Islam, but he was Muhammad Ali officially. But anyway, so he and Ali are engaging. They're about going back and forth, and Nat Fleischer was the timekeeper and the editor of Ring Magazine. He jumped up on the ring apron, and he waved like that. He turned Jersey to Walker to stop the fight. And Walker, being the inept guy that he was, wasn't the greatest official in the entire world. He's a former heavyweight champion, okay? It was a ceremoniously type of job for him. They gave it to him. Yeah, you're the former champ. We'll give you a job as a referee. But the bottom line is, you know, he blew it by listening to Nat Fleischer. Anyway, let's go back in time. Rocky Marciano, Jack Dempsey, the entire crew talking about the Phantom Punch.
This is Jack Dempsey, a legend in his time. And Bill Hines, boxing expert, editor of the Fireside Book of Boxing, author of the great boxing novel, The Professional. Jimmy Cannon, the distinguished syndicated columnist of the Hearst Press. The Hard Rock from Brockton, Rocky Marciano, who never tasted defeat. These then are our panelists. They have seen the very films that our viewers have seen. And I'd like to begin with you, Jimmy Cannon, because at the bout, you were directly situated to see Clay throw the punch. Was there a punch?
Yes, there was a punch, Howard, but I didn't think it was hard enough to crush a grape. The ring lights were very hot. The only explanation I can give for the way Liston fell was that perhaps he was sunstruck by the lights. It was a hoax in the sense, I don't think it was a fix in the sense that money was passed, but I don't think that Liston tried as hard as he should. He just took a punch and got out of there. That's the way it looked to me. Afterwards, when he got up, he certainly wasn't unconscious. He seemed in possession of his faculties. He ducked, knew enough to duck, about five or six right and left hands. Now, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon after the fight. Mm-hmm. Before the fight, I refused to pick a winner because I didn't like the circumstances of it, the people connected with it, the mere fact that Liston owns 22.5% of the stock in the company that promoted it. They make an excuse that he doesn't really own it anymore, but it's in the name of William Crawford. I asked Sam Margulies, who's connected with the promotion and seems to be Liston's manager, although he denies it, whose name it was in. And he said, William Crawford. And I said, who is William Crawford? And he said, Liston's father-in-law.
Hi, Jimmy. I'm going to move from that to Rocky Marciano because, Rock, you and I were seated together right beneath Liston, virtually, where he fell. Weren't you under the impression that he slipped or tripped rather than fell?
Yes, I did, because Clay was in no position at the time to throw a solid punch. He was moving from side to side in those funny moves that he makes, and it looked like he pulled back through a sort of a leading right hand without too much power. But from the films, evidently after he threw it halfway, he then put some power behind it and did get in about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Of punching power.
Didn't you feel that Walcott thought Liston slipped or tripped?
Yes, he acted that way because he just didn't start the count at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a good chance, gentlemen, for a break. We'll get to Bill Hines and Jack Dempsey in just a minute, so let's take 60 seconds out for another kind of sport, shall we?
This is log rolling. A sport that demands the balance of a tightrope walker, the agility of a tumbler, and the stamina of a lumberjack. Yes, when it comes to a champion, the proof is in the rolling. And when it comes to a champion smoking tobacco, the proof is in the puffing. That's why Prince Albert is America's largest selling smoking tobacco. Yes, the proof is in the puffing. Prince Albert burns steady. Prince Albert smokes cool. Prince Albert tastes fresh. And now, for the man who prefers the convenience of a pouch, Prince Albert comes in this handy new foil pouch, as well as the famous pocket tin. Pouch or tin, the proof is in the puffing.
Oh, the proof is in the puffin', Prince Albert has.
Prince Albert in the handy new foil pouch or famous pocket tin.
All right, let's resume and let's talk to the Manassa Mauler, Jack Dempsey. Jack, you deliberately did not look at that fight until today when you've seen
correct.
The films.
That's right.
What's your view of the films?
Well, there's very little to see, except I saw the punch, and the list looked very slow, and there was so much confusion, you can't tell what was going on.
You think it was a knockout blow?
Well, I don't know how hard he was hit. Not being on the receiving end, you never know just how hard these punches do come over, but I did see the punch go over.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, you were quoted as saying that you didn't want to see the fight or even hear it because you expected that this kind of thing was going to happen.
Well, I felt that something could happen, and I didn't want to, if you can't say something good, why say anything at all? I didn't want to say nothing.
All right, Bill Hines, you edited the very film that the viewers have seen today. You satisfied that there was a sufficiency of force in that punch to knock out Liston?
I think the answer, Howard, rests with Mr. Liston. If he couldn't get up, I think he belongs in Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic is. And if he wouldn't get up, I think he belongs in absentia.
Which is where he'll likely be from here on in.
I think so.
Billy, the thing that puzzles me is the documented record shows that Liston had never before been felled, and Clay had never before been a one-punch knocker-outer. Now, in the wake of those facts, how could this have truly been a knockout punch?
Well, I think you'd have to understand Liston's entire physical condition, and we're not sure of that. We're really not even sure how old he is. He says he's 31, and we say he's 31 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly he looked like an old man, and as the two pros here can tell you, when you get to a certain age, you just don't live under a punch the way you did when you were young. So I think that's a factor too, Howard.
Well, Rocky, when you were not so young really in your career, Archie Moore decked you with a short, right, that only traveled about 6 inches, didn't it?
Yes, that was when I missed him with my own right hand and had the full force going, and Archie, the clever man, just stepped back just about 3 inches and hit me with the best counterpunch you ever saw. And coming in and he coming in, I just went straight forward.
What do you think about when you go down?
Well, you realize that you can be put down, and it's a frightening thing to know that you can be put down. The punch traveled just a short distance, and you say to yourself, he can do it again. I better be a lot more careful or a lot more aggressive, either one.
Was Clay's punch at all like Moore's?
No, not really. I thought he just started it more or less to parry, and all of a sudden he saw the opening and he threw some power at the last moment. I've noticed that on the film here. He didn't have his body behind it or any real follow through. It was just a over the right arm and right on the chin. Mm-hmm. It could have hit him in a good spot and just confused him very much.
Well, as our viewers can see, that punch continues to remain very much in dispute. Our guests have been Jimmy Cannon, Jack Dempsey, Rocky Marciano, and Bill Hines. Thank you, gentlemen. The mystery of the punch unanswered. That's the way it was that May 25th, 1965, in Lewiston, Maine, in a high school hockey rink where they had a heavyweight championship fight. The big questions remain unanswered. Yes, there was a punch, but was it of sufficient force to knock out a man who had never been floored before? What about the referee, Jersey Joe Walcott, and his total confusion? Incidentally, Jersey Joe was invited to appear on the show, but was unavailable. Had he counted, could Liston have been up in time? Did Liston really, for that matter, get a fair shot? And what about all of the other bizarre circumstances attending upon the fight? The way it got, for instance, to Liston. Well, some say this was the end of boxing. Congress may bring in a federal boxing commission. Some states want to wipe out boxing. But this may, in fact, have been a new beginning, because Floyd Patterson, now in Sweden, says he's been promised a fight in the fall. And right now, there's a man in the ring, George Shavallo, and there he is, who wants to fight the heavyweight champion. He's ready at that moment. He may get the next shot. Indeed, this may be a new beginning. That's the story of the big fight. Muhammad Ali against Sonny Liston.
Howard Cosell, of course, in Lewiston, Maine, talking about that What can I say? Here's what's up. I asked Ali about the punch, and he said to me, he goes, the punch landed. Listen, was an old man. He didn't want to get up. That's just the way it was, of course. And I think he was, in a sense. Sort of like Buster Douglas when he went down against Evander Holyfield, and, of course, that fight in 1990, the fight after the meltdown of Mike Tyson in Tokyo. Of course, he fought Evander Holyfield in Las Vegas. I'll never forget that. He went down. He didn't even try to get up. I mean, he didn't try at all. And, of course, the referee was Mills Lane, my former broadcast partner. So I said, Mills, I said, you were the referee then. And I said, did Buster Douglas take a dive? He goes, well, he certainly didn't try to get up. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Mob, Jack Dempsey, and more after the break. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Going back in time, the Manassas Mall, I'm talking about Jack Dempsey, of course, one of the early heavyweight champions of the 20th century, stood 6'1", had a 73-inch reach, outstanding record, 53-6, was stopped one time, 43 KOs. Of course, we'll talk in depth about his record a little bit later, but straight up, let's go back to him in a very friendly interview with Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is one fellow I don't have to introduce, because everybody in the world not only has a deep affection for him, but they all instantly recognize the greatest champion we ever had in the American, or the world prize ring, Jack Dempsey. Jack, it's always a great thrill to have you on our stage because, as you know, from the time I started writing sports, you were so darn nice to me. The first time I ever had ate grapefruit, In a bowl of ice, I went up to interview him at the Hotel Alamac. We'd never seen grapefruit served that way in Forchester, and I had to watch him to see what he was doing, and then I followed his example. Jack, I wanted to ask you, and I know the people through the country would be interested in this. In view of the easy triumph of Johannesson over Patterson in their last fight, would you say, as the former champion of the world, that Patterson has a chance in this fight?
Well, Eddie, you always have a chance in anything you do, especially the fight game. I say the last fight that Patterson wasn't himself, but at the same time, you can't underestimate the other fellow. Johansson's a great champion, but you got to give the other fellow some kind of a chance.
Mm-hmm. Who would you pick at the moment?
Well, at the present time, I would say Johansson once more. But after all, before I try to pick a winner, I would like to see him in the respective workouts to see how they look. But still, right now, I got to say Johansson.
You know, I got such a kick out of your book that was written by Bob Considine and Bill Slocum. I read it the other night. And here's the whole story of one of the most exciting careers that any American youngster ever embarked upon. I was very struck, Jack. You said in the book that at the time when you first came to New York, of course, then you were about 20 or 21, weren't you?
That's right, 21 years old.
And your manager wanted to match you against the great Sam Langford. And you say in the book that you didn't take the match because you felt that Langford would have knocked you out.
That's right. And my opinion now is the same as ever. I think Langford was one of the greatest fighters we ever had, Ed. And if I'd have fought him, I probably would have gotten knocked out. And I'm glad I never had the opportunity to.
Well, I would have loved to have seen you later on when you were at the peak of your career. Langford was he was the great right-hand puncher. Dempsey, of course, was the great left hooker. I'd like to see you go with him. I'd have to have a few bob down on you. Jack, so darn nice to have you here. I'm going to tell the audience and all through the country that this book by Bob Considine, Bill Slocum, on Dempsey was the perfect wedding of a great champion and two great writers. And I'm going to tell them all to read it and enjoy it. I know they'll enjoy it just as much as I did.
Thank you very much.
Give our love home.
Certainly will.
So nice to see you again. Nice to see you looking so well, Jack.
Thank you, Ed, and keep well.
Thank you. Now let's hear it for...
Jack Dempsey did a lot of fighting here in San Francisco. In fact, he lost at the Civic Auditorium, a place I won my last title at, had my last fight as well, of course. Bottom line is he won in Oakland. He won in Emeryville. I mean, he won some fights around here. But the guy that he had problems with was a guy named Willie Meehan. Willie Meehan beat him twice, of course. Bottom line is beat him twice, and I think it was a draw one time, so he couldn't beat Willie Meehan. But outside of that, Dempsey was almost invincible. He was just rolling through people until he ran into Gene Tunney. Now, as Bert, you got that Bert Sugar clip ready? Okay, as Bert Sugar will tell us, the bottom line is Gene Tunney and Jack Dempsey was a bit of a mismatch.
Gene Tunney was great, but the foundation of his greatness, as we know, is against Dempsey. He now challenges Dempsey. Dempsey is a man-eater. Everybody thinks it's Dempsey's fight to win. They fight twice, 10 rounds each. Those were the rules in those days in Pennsylvania and Illinois where they fought. Mm-hmm. Of the 10 rounds in each fight, 20 in total, Dempsey wins one round. That's how good Tunney was. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, their first fight in Philadelphia, Sesquicentennial Stadium, 1926, Dempsey says, "Lead me across the ring. I want to shake his hand and congratulate him." Why? Tunney had closed both eyes. He was that good. And in my book, Boxing's Greatest Fighters, I have him rated fifth because I thought this was a great, great fighter. The problem was he was not exciting, particularly in the wake of Jack Dempsey.
Of course, wow, talking about Gene Tunney. That's what Ali used to call him, Gene Tunney. He's made fun of Gene. I know Gene Tunney, but otherwise it was Gene Tunney. Of course, Gene Tunney, his father, I think, went on to do some things politically here in this country, but he was an outstanding fighter. 65-1-1, 48 KOs. The only fight he ever lost was the great Harry Greb. Harry Greb may have been the greatest fighter in the history of boxing. I think he beat everybody from like featherweights to heavyweights. Like he kicked everybody's ass. I mean, it wasn't even close. Of course, I think his career ended early with some type of eye surgery, ended up dying. But the bottom line is, Harry Greb may have been the best fighter of all time. Now, back to Dempsey. Was he that good? Yeah, I think Dempsey was a great fighter for his time. There's no doubt about it. I mean, people say that he had some loaded gloves a couple of times, and that, you know, I wouldn't put that past anybody back in boxing in those days. I mean, you know, putting lead in gloves doing all kinds of crazy, taking the, I mean, because later on we saw in the 80s, we saw Panama Lewis taking taking the stuffing out of padding, the padding of Aaron Pryor's gloves, and of course Luis Resto's gloves, which he went to jail for, but he took the padding out of those gloves. He also wrapped both of their hands, in my opinion. Resto, for sure, was concluded in court that he wrapped their hands in plaster of Paris. In other words, you wrap your hands one time with a regular bandage, and you wrap it again with plaster of Paris. Now, plaster of Paris, what's that? That's that bandage you wrap around yourself, and if you spray it or dip it in water, it turns into a hard cast. So what they did was they waited until the athletic commission guy came in, checked the hand wraps. Oh, everything's good. He signs his name on the wrap, blah, blah, and he ends up leaving, right? Well, as soon as he's left, Panama Lewis sprayed cold water on both of those pads and made those pads into plaster of Paris. Now, Dempsey was supposed to have used that on a couple of occasions. There was a couple of guys in the past, of course, that were allegedly using, plaster of Paris and brass knuckles and all that kind of grit. I mean, you name it, they've done it in the boxing game. There's no doubt about it. But Dempsey was an American hero without a doubt. But as Bert Sugar said, he only won one round, I think, when he knocked Tunney down in that one round. But outside of that, he never won a round against Gene Tunney. So how good was Jack Dempsey? We'll talk about that a little bit after the break. But after the break, I'm going to go into depth about the involvement of Frankie Carbone and Blinky Palermo in the world of boxing. I said I would lead up to that, and I will. Of course, Ray Robinson, the real Ray Robinson, the guy that was welterweight champion and middleweight champion back in the 40s and the 50s, that kind of good stuff. A guy that I spent a weekend with in June of 1984, I think it was June 12th, 1984, the date of the Roberto Duran failure against Tommy Hearns. When he went in there against Tommy Hearns unprepared, fat and unprepared, got lit up. I mean, he got knocked out. I can still see that. That was the hardest punch I ever saw in my life, the ones that Tommy landed on, that right hand that knocked out Roberto Duran against the ropes. I mean, he knocked Roberto Duran out standing up. And then when Roberto fell, I was sitting on the ring there. Didn't have a seat. I was right on the floor there next to the ring. And I could hear him going, He was. I sounded like he was taking a dump, right? I mean, he was constipated. No. He was trying to get up. The heart of Roberto Duran was trying to get up after that punch by Tom Aaron. So that was an amazing punch, no doubt about that. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. Want to mention some of the people on Twitch 196 Twitch, of course, the Twitch channel. Of course, Twitch Sports on the listening channel. So according to Frank 1960, we want to talk about stealing cable before we go to break here. It says, stealing a boxing signal before the internet was complicated. You basically had to climb up, get a ladder, and access the cable TV line by climbing up a telephone pole. Nowadays, it's something you can attempt to do in the comfort of your home. Got a point there, but the bottom line is I don't know anybody ever climbed a telephone pole to watch a fight. But if there is, I guess you want to tell me about it, I don't know. But the bottom line is nowadays people aren't stealing anymore because they don't think it's stealing. When you're stealing a signal, everybody I talk to that's taking the fifth, none of them is copping to it, but they say that they don't feel they're stealing. They just don't feel they're stealing. They don't feel like the intellectual property that the fight promoter has in putting this fight up on the air, they don't feel that that's an honorable business. So they don't think they can steal it as long as they can. And I keep trying to tell people, they can make these fights as cheap as they want on pay-per-view. You give them an option to steal it, they're going to steal it. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with the mob after the break.
With real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one?
Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Before my grandfather's time, it was Jack Dempsey. I mean, that's what they used to talk about. Occasionally, when I watched the old men's in the 1960s and 1970s, these guys were still alive around the 1920s, and this, and they always talk about Dempsey being the most dominant fighter. Dempsey this, Dempsey that, Dempsey this. And I was telling them, you know, it's the Cassius Clay or the Muhammad Ali or Sonny Liston. No, they want to hear that. George Foreman here didn't want to hear that. It was still the Jack Dempsey era. Bottom line is, we'll go back in time and spend some time with the great Manassas Mall here, Jack Dempsey.
This is Leo Claudio with Malice to Woodland. We have as our guest tonight here at Jack Dempsey's restaurant in New York City one of the greatest heavyweight boxers in the history of the game. Fellow who won the championship from Jess Willard in 1919 in Toledo, Ohio. And I'd like to welcome at this time to our show the incomparable, inimitable Jack Dempsey.
Jack, what is the greatest fight you've ever had?
Well, I think one of the greatest fights I ever fought was with Jack Sharkey. Sharkey was a great fighter, and I think I was pretty lucky to lick him. And I think the reason I did lick him, of course, everything goes in the fight, and you're supposed to win. He turned to the referee and said I was hitting him low, and when his head was turned, I hit him. I knocked him out.
Is that how you did it?
That's right, but that's part of the business. I mean, you take advantage of everything you can, as long as it's fair.
Jack, there are tricks in boxing like any other game, aren't there?
That's right. You got to find out whether it's according to the man you're fighting. Some men fight in close good. Sometimes they fight further away. And sometimes they got a good left hand. Sometimes they got a good right hand. Sometimes they take it in the stomach. Sometimes they take it on the chin. You got to find what a man's weakness has, then you go for that.
That's true. Jack, who was probably the fighter who gave you the greatest, the most trouble in your career?
Well, I think it was Jack Sharkey.
Still a shark.
Still a shark, yeah.
Is that so? And how long did he last?
Well, I think that fight went four rounds.
Is that so? And in those four rounds, he gave you a tremendous fight?
Oh, yes. He was ahead of me way out on points and had me knocked out three, four times. In other words, I was stunned in the fight, but he didn't knock me out. I was still able to punch and go along and finally knocked him out.
Jack, I don't know whether you know it or not, but he's living in New Hampshire now, in Epping, New Hampshire, in a little town.
Yes, I know, and he's doing a good job. He's a very fine person.
Yes, well, I just had the pleasure of interviewing him recently, and he thinks a great deal of you, and he says that the greatest fight he ever fought, he thought was with you also.
Well, that's right. Jack's a very fine person.
Jack, did you lose the title the first time to Gene Tunney?
Yes, that was the first time. I lost it in Philadelphia the first time, and then I came back in Chicago, and I lost it again.
Well, you lost it, you won it, but then lost it. I mean, you had it. If I remember correctly, I was following boxing quite close at the time. There was a long count of 16 because you didn't return to your neutral corner. Am I right?
That's right. Well, it's my own fault. I stood there. I was in hopes that Gene wouldn't get up. I was thinking maybe he'd get another fight and get a $1 million gate. But unfortunately, the referee didn't count till I got back to the other corner, and it spoiled the whole thing for all of us. But anyway, it worked out all right.
Jack, at the end of 10, did you have him on the floor?
No, I think he had me on the floor at the 10th round. I think I was knocked down the 10th round.
No, I mean, when you had him for the 16 count, when they counted up to 10, did you have him on the floor then?
Oh, yes, he was in his corner. He couldn't have got up. Of course, I've talked to Gene several times, and I believe what he said. He said he could have gotten up. He heard the count after about the count of four. But if he had gotten up at that time, maybe I'd have had a better chance of knocking him up.
He probably would have been woozy, and you'd have finished him up.
That's right.
Jack, and yet, you know, if it hadn't been for that long count and the disputed long count and the controversy that developed over it, people probably wouldn't remember that fight as well as they do because of the long count.
That's correct. I mean, they like to remember those things, especially the people saw that. They said, well, I saw that fight in Chicago, the long count, and this and that, and it gives them something to remember the fight game.
That's true. Now, this was an interview with Jack Dempsey, the former world heavyweight boxing champion and one of the greatest the game has ever known. This is Jack Dempsey's Restaurant in New York City, and this brings us to the end of With Malice to It, none for today. Until tomorrow at this same time, Leo, Claudia, good day.
Sort of cool hearing the typewriter in the background. Isn't it sort of cool, the typewriter? Of course, we also gave you the sound effects of that Prince Albert tobacco commercial, which was against the law. If the FCC heard that I was playing tobacco commercials, they'd probably come in here and try to shut me down. You can't do that. Can't play tobacco commercials or TV on TV or the radio anymore. At least you couldn't as of a few years ago. Bottom line is, back in the day when I was a kid growing up, everybody smoked. I mean, my mother smoked in the hospital when she was having me. Imagine that, smoking cigarettes in the hospital. That's just the way it was. Of course, cigarette smoking would have led to her demise. Speaking of demise, my cousin Armando passed away last week, and of course, he passed away from COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and that was brought in by cigarette smoking, okay? And to show you how the family history is, his mother and his father both died from cigarette smoking. His older sister died from cigarette smoking. His sister's daughter has COPD right now. I found that out at the service last week, so I was like freaked out. I mean, the addiction to cigarettes, I told you that when I worked in the jail, in the San Bruno County Jail for the San Francisco Sheriff's Department. I was teaching school back there for some school district. I remember the Milpitas School District. Had a teaching credential. But the bottom line is, I was teaching school there, and there were certain things going on. I mean, people would do things for cigarettes like you wouldn't believe. One guy was wrapped up in a bank embezzlement charge. He was like a white-collar guy. You know, they took away his tie, took away his belt the whole nine yards. He was holding his pants up with his hand the whole nine yards, but not because it was stylish, because that's what he had to do, because they took away the stuff. They thought he might kill himself or something like that. Well, anyway, the guy didn't kill himself. He went through a cigarette frenzy, and he went in the other room, and I called roll, and there was 26 people in this class. Only 24 people signed the list. Now, when I'm in jail, that's a bit of a problem. 24, 26, two guys are missing. What's going on? So anyway, I ended up going into the back of the cell. It was a cell block. I went there in the back of the cell, and he was orally saying hello to somebody else for a cigarette. That's how great the demand for cigarettes is. That's how great the addiction was. So when I went home and dealt with my mother that day, she couldn't quit for nothing. My mother couldn't quit until they told her she had COPD and she was going to die. And then she quit cigarettes on a dime. That's just the way it is. I mean, the hardest thing I've ever had to do in life is, as an adult, is try to keep people off of tobacco and food. My friends are like food freaks. I try to straighten them out. They say to me, "Yo, why do you look so skinny?" I'm trying to set an example for you. That's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm 29-inch waist. I work on that. You work on that. I do the pull-ups. I do the running. I do the swimming. I got my exercise bike the whole nine yards. And I eat right more than anything else. Of course, what I'm eating right now, somebody asked me the other day, what's your diet like right now? Diet is mainly steak. I have steak almost every day. Good steak. I'm talking about like whole foods, you know, no pasture raised, and no antibiotics, no chemicals, none of that kind of good stuff. So I usually have that. I have some beans. I have some vegetables. I'm into blueberries big time. I like blueberries. And, of course, I juice a couple of meals. Maybe one or two meals a day I would juice. When I say by that juice, I don't mean steroids. I mean like watermelon juice to a lesser extent, but usually it's honeydew juice or cantaloupe juice. That's what I usually do. Bottom line is I'm a juicer and I'm not steroids. Hey, let's talk about some of the upcoming fights. Of course, the 12th of April on DAZN, two fights on DAZN, two different cards. Jared Ennis versus Emmanuel Stennis. Of course, Jared Ennis, not my favorite guy. He just isn't. I mean, you got a problem with him. Of course, he comes in at 33 and zip. He is a guy from St. Louis, Missouri. I think he's from St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, and selling all kinds of tickets there. But the bottom line is, Emmanuel Stennis is 15-0. Supposed to be a pretty good fight for the IBF World Welterweight Championship, 147-pound title. Jared Ennis, at one point in time, I thought was the future at 147. Now I think he's just a guy holding the title. On the co-feature, Raymond Ford, 16-1-1, takes on Thomas Matisse, who's 22-4. Of course, some other fights on the card. Not too many names on the card, but also the same night, the very same night. Of course, also on The Zone, The Zone's rocking and rolling. They're going to come back with Jordan White versus Matias Romero. That looks like it's a pretty good fight, too. Of course, Matias Romero coming in at 29-3. He's been stopped at one time, 8-10 KOs, not a big puncher. And, of course, Jordan White comes in at 18-1. They're going to be fighting in Maryland, Hanover, Maryland. 18-1 with 12 knockouts. White's a slight favorite in this fight, of course. Some of the other fights coming up as far as the future of boxing is concerned, because this is the April 12th weekend. Things are going to be slow. Usually, you know, we have this big fight around the Cinco de Mayo weekend, but this week, this year, you know, Canelo's getting Skull and William Skull, not oral copulation, William Skull. Of course, that's what they call oral copulation jail, Skull. But the bottom line is, Canelo's getting Skull. May the 3rd, he's going to get a gift of opportunity. Of course, he's going to do this over in Saudi Arabia for the Sheik. He's going to make a lot of money. Of course, this was a guy that Canelo Alvarez wouldn't deal with. Remember 6 months ago, he says, I won't talk to the Sheik. I don't have to deal with him, blah, 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 blah. Then he's kissing the guy's ass over the kissing his ring and getting the money that that nobody else wants to pay him. Because I don't think Canelo's really that worth that much. I don't think he's worth that much anymore. I think he's lost his star has lost its luster. And, of course, people say to me, oh, man, he's still the pound-for-pound king of boxing. Say what? You know, I'm not a pound-for-pound king as far as it's a bit of delusional as far as, like, one guy being better. But you got to look at Noah Inouye, of course, the super bantamweight champ out of Japan, 29-0, going to take on Hutto Nakatani next year. Of course, that's according to Danny D, Tommy D. And Hutto Nakatani is, like, 30-0. Of course, he comes with us from Japan as well. He's the 118-pound champion of the WBC. And Noah Inouye is a WBC 122-pound champion. So these guys are going to hook it up next year. Of course, Terrence Crawford's number two, according to the box rec ratings at super welterweight, 154 pounds, 41-0, 37 years old. He will be Canelo's opponent, of course, in September. They're going to do that, I think, in either Las Vegas or has they got a site for that yet? Who cares? Anyway, bottom line is, third guy is probably the best fighter pound for pound in the world, although his style doesn't appeal to me. Dmitry Bivol, of course, 24-1, had that one loss against Beterbiev, and he came back and he beat Beterbiev. And of course, you got to give him props. He beat Canelo Alvarez when people didn't think he beat Canelo. Speaking of Canelo, that's got him number four on the pound-for-pound rankings here. I don't get that, man. How could David Benavidez be ranked number six and Canelo be ranked number four? I don't get it. And Beterbiev be ranked number seven. Anyway, number eight, Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis, a bit of a roach, a bit of a stall after that fight with Roach last time. Lamont Roach licked him like a stamp. He didn't get the call, took a knee, all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. The New York State Athletic Commission said that, guess what? We couldn't look at the instant replay because the camera broke. Well, guess what? There was a television company doing the instant replay right next to you. It was like one monitor here, one monitor there. The Athletic Commission couldn't look at the other TV monitor because they didn't want to. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, I think Roach got screwed. He got screwed out of a win. He got screwed out of a multi-million-dollar operation, of course. And now they're going to do probably a rematch, and he won't get the call. It's just the way it is. He won't be up to it mentally and physically like he was the first time. It happens a lot. I mean, it just does. You get up for things, and then you're playing blackjack. I keep saying this, but you're playing blackjack with your life. This is your life, right? And you think you've got 21, a king and an ace. He said, there's no way I can get beat here. And then some guy beat you with a 17, only in professional boxing and blackjack. Going around, rounding out the top 10 as far as the box rec top 10 is concerned. Number 10 is going to be Jaron Ennis, the aforementioned Jaron Ennis, who's in action next week. We'll see what happens with him and Stanislaus. Shakur Stevenson, of course, a guy that was active a couple of weeks ago, had good hands, had a very good fight. I mean, the best fight he's had put forth in a long time. Gervonta Davis, the aforementioned guy that clashed with the Roach, of course, he's number eight. Seven is Beterbiev. Number six is David Benavidez, the best fighter in the world, I think, pound for pound. Nobody wants to fight him. There's a reason for that. Canelo don't want to fight him. Guys at light heavyweight don't want to fight him. Nobody wants to fight David Benavidez. He truly is the monster of boxing, no doubt about that. As I said, Nakatani, I think, might even be better than Noah Inouye. Now, people say to me, you're out of your mind. I'm telling you, man. Noah Inouye and Hutto Nakatani, I would love to go to Japan for that one. It's going to probably put that in the big bowl next to the Tokyo Bowl, Tokyo Dome, the whole nine yards. He'll sell that place out 10 times over. But the bottom line is, that's going to be the fight of all fights. I mean, I never before remember, ever in the history of boxing, two top 10 fighters, pound for pound, in this illusional town, this mythical pound for pound list, that two fighters were from Japan. I never remember one fighter being on the list before. I can't remember one fighter from Japan being on the list, let alone two of them. Of course, Nonoi number one, Crawford number two, Bivol number three, Alvarez number four, Hutto Nakatani number five. Hutto Nakatani is the dark horse here, and I'm picking him right now to beat Nonoi when they hook up next year. Of course, Tommy D says that fight's going to happen. When Tommy D says something, it usually does. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We'll come back for the break. We'll do some history and some more on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
Great George Foreman, of course, died a fortnight ago, defended the World Heavyweight Championship after knocking out Joe Frazier in 1973 in two rounds over in Kingston, Jamaica, the day that Don King got his ass kicked by the Muslims. He defended his title against Jose King Roman. Of course, I think it was over in Nippon. I think it was in Japan, I believe. Of course, then he defended against Ken Norton. That was down in Caracas, Venezuela. Of course, then he met Muhammad Ali and lost his title. Of course, in 1977, fought Jimmy Young. And, of course, that sort of brought George Foreman into another world. I mean, he was an a-hole before then. He was the meanest guy on the entire planet. He had the fight with Jimmy Young. He came back about, 9 years later, when he took on Steve Zalski in Sacramento, California, weighing 267 pounds. People laughed. It was an old fat man, of course. Then he fought Evander Holyfield in 1991. Of course, he and I did a pay-per-view commercial over at the Richmond Auditorium in Richmond, California. They gave me 3 minutes on the pay-per-view signal. I might be repeating myself here, but they gave me 3 minutes on the pay-per-view signal, a three-minute commercial, and George Foreman bogarted the time. Now, there was supposed to be a three-minute thing. It was supposed to be 2 minutes with him and 1 minute with Archie Moore. Well, Foreman bogarted like all but 30 seconds, all but 20 seconds. So when I said to the interview, we're supposed to interview Archie Moore, but I've run out of time here. So when it was over with, Archie Moore almost kicked my ass. I mean, that's how serious Archie Moore was. And speaking of Archie Moore, he was the guy that knocked down Rocky Marciano in his last fight. That's what convinced Marciano to retire. That and back problems, I believe. Of course, Marciano realized he couldn't beat guys like Zora Foley, probably, and couldn't beat Sonny Liston, no doubt about that. And Eddie Machen might have given him some problems. So the bottom line is, I think that Rocky Marciano was a marked man at that point in time. His time, he was ready to go. I mean, his time was over. So when he got out at 49-0 after that fight with Archie Moore, I think he was lucky to get undefeated straight up. I wish him all the best. Of course, all his fans tell me he's the greatest heavyweight of all time. And then you've got people saying the aforementioned Jack Dempsey was the greatest heavyweight of all time. And then you've got people currently of the current status saying that Tyson Fury was the greatest heavyweight of all time. He only lost because he got old. I mean, everybody's got their own champion. Everybody's got their own guy, okay? Foreman was a monster. Ali was technically probably maybe the best at one point in time. Lennox Lewis was almost unbeatable. Of course, he got knocked out by Oliver McCall, but he came back and he took care of that in the rematch. The bottom line is all these guys, these tall guys, these top heavyweight champions, they all have their own era, and each era is different. That's why it's so hard to compare different eras. I mean, I don't think Jack Dempsey could have competed in today's heavyweight world, but he would have been like a cruiserweight. He would have been real small, like a 200-pound type of guy. So he would have made it as a cruiserweight nowadays. Marciano, another guy, walked around about 185, 190 pounds, fought 190 pounds. He wasn't a guy that was going to be able to take on a 220-pound heavyweight. I think no way, no how. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, especially in heavyweight boxing. So the bottom line is I think Marciano was too small. Dempsey was a little bit too small. Dempsey was a little bit too old. The current athletes. Now, Tyson Fury, I talk about the current athletes. Oleg Usyk being the current world heavyweight champion, you know, he doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I would have to take Viagra to get up for him. That's just the way it is. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank the impeccable one. He is the greatest producer in the history of radio and TV. No doubt about that. He takes care of me week in and week out. I thank him for everything, of course. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Of course, the people on Twitch.tv as well. I want to thank everybody. My cable thieves, all you good guys. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Saturday and Sunday, the same channels, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live. Ring Talk is a production of Sports Byline.